Call to order Eastern County Regional Libraries regular board meeting May 21st, 2026. It is 5:04 p.m. Before you have the agenda for tonight's meeting, I'd like to add one addition to the agenda. The new number nine would be in camera for personnel issues. That being said, can I have a motion to approve the agenda with that addition?
I'm wondering if this cost of living index should be moved to income as well.
Yes.
Now we can mess up my number.
I told you you'd be looking for flaw by the end.
Where's flaw? Okay, five is gone, six is now five, seven is six, eight is seven, and now in camera is number eight. Now, anybody want to approve the agenda as amended?
Approve the agenda for them.
Yeah. I'll second it.
And all those in favor?
Aye.
Okay, and before you have the minutes of February 5th, 2026.
No. Oh, that's incorrect.
My apologies.
Okay.
We
will get the February meeting minutes.
I'm able to plug in and print February minutes as well.
I think they are the right minutes, Laura.
Oh,
I think it's the wrong date.
The wrong date.
If you look at
minutes of the January 22nd meeting is April 3.
April 16th is the next meeting.
Okay, so we missed the date then.
Yeah.
And so when I say errors and omissions,
you definitely had some.
Fix the date.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Michelle was away on vacation at the time.
Oh, so it's probably my bad. My apologies, everyone.
Except for that glaring omission. Are there any errors or omissions?
With me, I'll make a motion to approve the agenda for the minutes that's presented. With the error for the fix of the error.
Yes.
Second.
Too late, Susan. Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Business arising. Old Dan sale. Go ahead, Laura.
Last meeting we talked about selling the van in the spring. We wish to continue using the van for the summer and squeeze every little last bit of thread out of it. I don't believe we can afford to purchase a new second vehicle at this time, and this will help extend the life of both the Subaru, the old van, and the new van. It's not going to continue too much longer, so I'd love to revisit this issue in October. Yeah.
Well,
you on. Thoughts on that, and I think that's into a cost of repair or something, we're probably reassess, but and still make use of it. The mail with the interruptions from the renovations and just the general increase in use have been out of control. I think we had 30 bins one last week.
Joey, mail?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, easily. Well, where we had a week where they were painting, we had to delay shipments, so the backlog is all coming in. Yeah, there were days where there were 30
bins.
Yeah,
so it's handy to have the second mail. So, anyway, that's
fine. And the province is very uncommittal about any additional funds or even top-up funds or even sitting down and doing a real budget analysis for libraries. That was evident by their discussion with the municipal councilors in the last spring in SFM meeting. But Hope Springs in general. Are there any down hard feelings about not wanting to abandon the discussion. There you go.
Drive it
into the ground.
That's the plan. Everything good. Go into the library on another vehicle.
Put on marketplace.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, the new number five, financial. County update. You did get the financial reports by email?
Yes, we had a revised today. You got it as soon as I got it. And I did not have a moment to print that off. The larger report, the ETRL management report, that's how they generated this for us.
About, I said so much better.
Yeah. Yeah, it's certainly more, I think this might be because it's a year end, but they certainly have a much more complex presentation of information. And they did the balance sheet, and what they were really doing was the trial balance for the audit. So they had a balance sheet, they had a profit and loss report, and then they also did a comparison. And what I sent out this afternoon was an adjusted comparison of the, oh, actually, she got that correction, was the budget to the actual. You know, it's maybe for more financially minded people, it's very helpful, like I said, for preparation for our audit, and it's very detailed. So,
who did this, the audit firm?
No, well, it's a section of the audit firm, and they have an accounting in your department, and we've contracted them to deal with our accounting, and this they generated this report for us. So
did they generate this one as well? The one you sent today?
Yeah, they did. They made corrections with that. I think made it much easier to read. And I am actually pleased with the bottom line of the 55,000 that looks to be available to us, 55,640. I'll just draw your attention to that. It's on page 7. This is our profit, if you become a profit as nonprofit. So this money that is available to us to deficit finance with for future years, potentially this year or the next. And that really came from the 10,000 we received from LBANs during in September and the additional 46,802, I keep reversing this, from the province that we have done that this year, which was kind of deliberate in the sense that I was worried about the money for the chair and the money for the shares column. So
is that an actual cash balance or is that a bookkeeping?
No, that's money that we can deficit finance with. Now the auditor's got to confirm that what I'm taking from this, but yeah, this is, we had that, Darren, the auditor, and I had discussed what I thought was going to be the case, and we may need to, as a board, you may need to make some motions to sort of plunk it into an operational reserve or not. We're still working on the budget, so we'll have to see how much we need to leverage from our savings and or money available to deficit finance us. I would like to get kind of a financial footprint that is our security, because we have 60,020 in capital, 40-something in operational reserve that's available to us in the bank. Last year, we had about 40,000 for deficit financing. And now we have this additional 55. So it looks like we, you know, we have 150 or whatever, 100 and a bit, that we can help to live off for the next couple of years while we see where the province is going with library finances and funding. So, okay, we've got the main thing that I think I covered in my CEO report was the update on the changeover and what's happening with the financial firm being contracted to do this work for us. I did receive the first invoice, but I just received it, so I didn't have a chance to bring it to you guys as well. And that invoice covers the taking our SAGE accounting system and transitioning it to QuickBooks Online. And that was a $2,000 footprint. And actually, our stage installation was quite historical. And QuickBooks Online is a much easier tool to use. So I think it's very good to have made this transition. Sage was apparently glitching quite a bit. It is an older platform. QuickBooks Online, like if you need to figure out how to do anything in it, you can just Google it. It comes right up. It's very integrated to the internet. They cost about the same for a yearly subscription, but this transition process also allowed them to look at how we had structured the Sage accounting system and make some updates, improvements, and efficiencies. Because Carly and I both inherited how the Sage is structured with chart of accounts. So like I didn't decide that, she didn't decide it. It was just like a very ancient kind of thing we kept carrying forward. So we've done a lot of work with them to like change and streamline this information. And then they've been working for us since March. So we had the year end that they had to help catch us up on. And that was February, March. They're preparing things for the audit. And we're now working on April and the year end. So this was like a timeline of early March to mid-May. And what's first bill was it was 8,000 of the taxes. So it's going to be around like 7,200 or something. Not bad, all things considered. And they have been very generous to using their expertise to help make things easier for their stuff, which I'm happy about. It's good to have people who really know what they're doing with this sort of thing to advise you. And the good thing is, like I was saying to the HR committee, that if something bad happens to me, in the hospital or something, there's people that those you're dealing with that mess can contact and get assistance from. Two other library regions have been using them for a year at least, two, possibly 2 years, two or three other library regions. I know the Valley and Cape Breton use them for this stuff. Did you have any questions about accounting or if any of the information was being provided? I mean, I may not be able to answer that immediately, but I can certainly go away and sort anything out. This, particularly the new one that is like, I guess, one talking person. This information gives you the year-end totals, and it's kind of critical for the budget. So,
Just wait, what is that?
I sent it this afternoon. I'm sorry, I didn't have a chance to print it off for everyone. It gives you the year-end totals of your actual expenses. So, for example, if you paid gas, so our actual expenses for gas in 25-26 were 9,827. So, when it comes to budgeting, you use this information to plot and update your budget. So, this is extremely helpful for that process, that it gives you an idea of what needs to be updated in the budget and how much it's going to change your cost. Did you want to discuss the draft budget at this point? If you want to go to that document. Anything? Okay, it's got highlighted yellow. Yep. Okay. So just to recap for everyone, particularly newer members, our budget consists of two parts. We have a budget summary, which is the first page of the document. And what feeds into that budget summary are a detailed list of expenditures. So you can kind of drill down and see, for example, currently I'm working on English payroll is, totaling up at 1,000. And you can go through all these expenditures and kind of see how much we're spending or planning potentially to spend on items. And this detailed list of expenditures is what I am in process on updating. Some of it requires getting information from other organizations or people and, figuring out, doing a little bit of calculations. There are increases for our IT services, for the ILS, for the audit. And obviously, gas and heat for the building. We spent $14,000 on propane, so like there's some pretty basic cost of living related or inflation related increases, right? So one of the biggest parts of the budget, however, is the salaries. So when you do discuss the COLA, that will be a key foundational decision to kind of figure out how much we're going to need from our savings to make the budget work, and will allow me to plot in the rest of it with some measure of confidence. Any questions about this budget document or how it's working? I mean, I'm sorry, it's not as far as long as I'd like, but I had to be off on the
It's a lower budget than last year.
Currently salaries, yes, and that aspect of it has to probably well, the sorry, there's two parts to that. Our financial footprint, our financial envelope is lower than last year because the province didn't give us the additional funding that they did last year. Last year, yeah, so our revenue is lower. They didn't give us the 46,800 or 200. I was reversed, so sorry. And instead, they gave us 28,900 as additional funding. So we're missing money as compared to last year. And we're likely to, use deferred French funding to help supplement
Sorry, just what I
salary.
asked about that too. Like,
Yeah.
you can use French funding for any operational, or does it have to be French related?
Well, what it does is it has to be something you can explain and justify that supports French service. So we have traditionally used French funding, the grant, for staffing that relates to the locations that are bilingual. But for example, Michelle supervises several branches, so you take a percentage, and the delivery guy goes to French locations, so you take a percentage, and any other expense that's operational that supports French service that you
So it's
have.
not difficult to justify at all.
No. So it's kind of it's changed just based on our overall English funding over the years. Like when things get more desperate for the English funding, we typically try and find ways to pump that up or offset that with a bit of French funding. The reason French funding is relevant right now is we've had a little bit in deferred revenue. So one year we were supposed to, okay, I can't wait to open it until later in the year. So we budgeted salary, right? And that gave us some additional French funding because it wasn't spent that year. So we're trying to drain off that French funding. I didn't know we will need to drain it off over the next couple of years. And this just is a grounding. So like the next meeting we have about this budget should be at a level where you can potentially approve. Since, as you mentioned, we're not getting any more money
Yeah,
for all of
this
this.
province has made it pretty clear. The
Yeah.
outgoing executive director for Community Cultures Libraries said that that's not even in the budget. So.
Yeah. The 28,000 came from a grant fund that they had for libraries called the Library Development Fund. And we've received multiple grants for particularly the project management fees last year, last budget, I should say. And we will no longer have that fund to apply to. Libraries agreed that with things are so tight, people aren't going to be doing innovative projects, and that this money could be used for operations as additional provincial funding. So libraries have taken a $500,000 cut in grants that they can apply to supplement their operations because of the not getting the one funding. So that's
Very straightforward.
yeah. So
Yeah.
that it's just to get a sense as the board of our financial footprint for this
Yep.
year. And then we will eventually have a sense, a pretty solid sense from the audit of how much money do we have to live off while we go through these challenging times. And your difficulty as board members is to decide how much do we spend to meet operational needs or staff needs or whatever, with the idea of not painting yourself into a financial emergency in the future because operations can't be afforded in the financial envelope that you get on a yearly basis.
Is it typical to not approve your budget till after this is April 1st is the year and this is already May 20th?
Great question. I've worked here 16 years and we've never approved a budget before June.
Really?
Yeah. And every year, Carly and I are like, okay, we're going to get it earlier, right? And every year we don't know what our money's going to be.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we didn't get this 28,000, so, and we are spending, right? And because of the accounting firm, I think they're going to finish up April next week or so. So, like, you'll at least know what was spent in April, quicker than usual. But, yeah, it has been extremely typical, and I have never managed to overcome the environment.
Yeah.
And sometimes, too, you don't even know what the costs are till late in the game, right? And so I'm getting pretty good at, like, I mean, we're 5,500 this year, and that's awful in a way because we should have, you know, maximized that for service.
Oh,
but
no.
At the same time, it was prudent financially. So, like, I'm really good at kind of feeling it, you know, like, okay, how are we doing? The accounting issues that we had this year, however, resulted in some of the underspending because we didn't know the information. Like, Amanda, who does our collection purchasing, I couldn't tell her how much we had spent to date. So she couldn't make purchasing decisions. But at a certain point, I was like, you know what, start spending because I know we're underspent, right? So that's probably not terribly helpful, but that is how it's been working. And it's important to understand that because, like I say, you guys are going to have, if things stay on this terrible track and everybody stays on the board, you will be at a point where you'll need to make very difficult financial decisions. So you need to have a handle on this financial envelope and the financial footprint you have on a yearly basis, and you're not living within our means, right? And two other library regions, and I mean, I shouldn't speak out of turn.
Oh, I was going to ask you to.
Yeah, but two other library regions have been deficit financing for years, so they've never lived within their annual operating funds, and they're now this year experiencing systemic collapse because the money that they had in the bank from whatever donations, investments, I don't know, is spent. So ABRL has a $600,000 deficit, so they're going to have to cut their service $600,000. And Cumberland had a $173,000 deficit, so they were going to have to cut their service $173,000. So,
what is their average?
Well, we have 40 something in the operational reserve and 20 something in the capital reserve. If I can get you exact figures, I'm just getting all the
40 something.
40-some thousand in operational reserve, 20-some thousand in capital reserve, so a total of six.
Plus, that's 55,000 from this year?
Yes.
Where do I see that on the balance sheet?
You don't see it on the balance sheet. Well, you know, because you'd see in the audit, you'd see the capital reserve and the operational reserve in the audit.
It should be on my balance sheet, Josh, you know?
It's not this year. I mean, I don't know if they brought it in.
Yeah, it's in the ECRL reporting.
Okay.
So it'll tell that our current assets are, which includes operational and capital.
There you go. It's there.
In the reporting document.
Hang on. Page 4. Is that where you are, Michelle? Page 4.
I am on page 3.
Page 3?
Yeah.
Okay.
The very first, at the very top of balance sheet under assets.
Okay. No, that's accounts.
Sorry,
it is.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah.
Okay, so it is there. I'm not used to this report yet at all.
So next year that will be well, when they after the audit, the 55 or whatever it might be after the audit will be there as well.
That was the plan that Darren, the auditor, had laid out to me that the board might need to like plunk it into the operational reserve. Yes. Yeah.
So that's good.
Yeah, and that will be our savings.
But that's not really a whole lot of money.
That's why it's very important when you're making financial decisions to bear that there is a future that if you were unfortunate enough to be here, like, right?
Why there's no new car?
Yeah, that's why let me say unequivocally, we need a new vehicle to get people to branches for site visits, but we are driving the 12-year-old Subaru. So I'm ready to keep driving Subaru, testing that change the value of buying Subaru. But yeah, things are not luxurious for sure, and there's not a lot of leeway because any emergency, right? And purchase anything happens, it's out of that money. So this is just your lesson in advance of really looking at, okay, where do we arrive at?
Yeah.
And that's all I really have to say.
Thank you.
Just curious, does it make sense to like provide in addition to whatever the CRA regulated travel expense are for people to drive their own vehicle?
No, because it is quite costly, right? We have to pay at the provincial rate. And we have very long distances to travel. And the other problem, and that, again, I'm not sure this is an appropriate comment, but I should be direct about it, is that you're assuming anybody who works for us has a vehicle that is good enough to get to Shetty Camp or wherever back and forth. It's a lot of driving, sure, depending on where you are, you know. And that's not a fair assumption to the employee. Like, we don't require them to have a vehicle yet to do that when we hire them, right?
Right.
And if you were to require that, you would be putting a kind of pressure or scrutiny on the individual. And since we don't pay people.
And there's also the cost of insurance. And then the organization would have to pay our insurance.
Yeah. It's not like someone who signs up for a job that you have to have a card for, like, you know, delivering packages or something, that you have to have a vehicle. So it's not feasible.
But, when your employee uses the vehicle for business purposes, their travel reimbursement covers their. Direct for insurance costs, you wouldn't pay for that.
Yeah, and like I said, the real issue for me is it's that you're assuming and this is a lot of travel. And
yes, well, just for example, I did take my personal car to Shetty Camp when I went for training just so that the Subaru would be available. And the mileage, because it's like 300 plus kilometers, like I think I made like $300 off that trip for just the mileage alone.
Yeah.
So it would cost the organization an exorbitant amount.
Yeah. So it's been considered though, and it's a logical question, like fair question. It's just not particularly feasible.
No, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jennifer.
Fundraising funding advocacy stuff.
Ah, yes. Yes. So the results of the survey were as expected, but good to see. I don't think we had a chance to look at the very attractive blue sheaf.
Should cut down on the color.
Yes, I know. It looks so pretty, though. Michelle hasn't had even remotely a chance of publicizing this information, but we are planning to do that as soon as humanly possible. Traditional library services are extremely popular. Our digital resources heavily used as well. And programming, not as heavily used, but there's definitely, I think, a desire, you know, public service priorities. You can kind of see that in the priority section. Where programming and activities at the branch are a real priority for the people. I should say too, I was supervising branches while Michelle was away this month, and it's interesting what you learn when you do that. The take and make, like we have these take and make kits that people can come in and get, and it's an activity in a bag that you can take home. They are flying off the shelves in some locations. Like, this is really grown and become more popular. Parents are using them a lot. So this activity element, even in the manner that we're doing it, where you can take it home and do it with the kids, very, very popular. And so it was nice to see that growth, because Michelle implemented that program, and it's really after 2 years become...
There are people who only come to the library for it.
Yeah.
Like, since the programming has come back, there are folks who come back to the library and have expressed appreciation for the variety and just the access and the flexibility to, they can hang out at the library and do it if they want to. If it's a little too busy, they can make it home. And just gives them, you know, more access to developmentally appropriate activities.
Yeah, and a lot of parents and caregivers enjoy it for kids, so it's a real service for like family support as well. So this is nice to see, and it is a useful thing for you to bear in mind if budgeting decisions. Because of course, I was grilling Michelle about the program because I was like, "Should we cut this? Is this the time? Is
It is the hill I will die on.
yeah?" And that's extremely
Is it
popular.
mostly utilized by lower income people with that?
I say it's used across the board, and that's the whole
Yeah.
point, is that it's fully accessible and it
Right.
is for everybody. So
Yeah.
it takes away the stigma of, oh, it's only
Yeah.
for low income. We really try to make it so that everybody is welcome to use and take what they want. And it's really encouraged people to interact who might not normally interact and just come to the library and have that exposure.
They change this fairly, like your programs change monthly.
Quarterly.
Quarterly?
Quarterly,
Okay.
but there are
Yeah.
usually several options that are available each quarter. I usually try to do 3 or 4
Yeah.
and then branch staff, depending on the popularity and what resources they have on site.
They're for all age groups, right?
All age groups, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of our take and make crafts, of course, are more geared for, the developmental years, but let's be real, if somebody puts some pom-poms and pipe cleaners in front of me, I'm gonna play with it too. So
Yeah.
it really is for all ages and we're
So,
lots of that sort of thing.
it was nice to see the strength of that up close and in personal. It was heartwarming. I was like, oh, right, that's why I got into this job. I forgot that part. The other thing that I discovered was that the food bank in Port Hawkesbury had called up and wanted to leave some baby formula along with the diapers that we gave away, which of course Michelle organized and said yes to. And that was a really nice offshoot of just having the diapers and the personal care products and so on. So I'd love to see that added more. I don't know how well that's going, but I'm sure.
Yeah, it was one off.
Yeah.
They had some extra formula that was close to expiry. They just wanted to get it in people's hands where they're only open, one day. And so where the library's open 5 days, 6 days a week, it improved access and they all were taken within a few days, which was
Okay.
exactly the point. Yeah.
How did you advertise that, just on Facebook?
No, we didn't even advertise because there were so few cans. There were only
Oh,
5 or 6. And so branch staff just,
people.
mentioned it to folks that they were coming in, especially if they saw people with small children, small babies.
Yeah.
And we created a display sign to say, please take. If you need, take.
So it was really nice to hear about, actually. It was like, what is happening? Oh my goodness, another good thing I didn't know about. So,
And I think it's evidence of the partnerships that are kind of organically starting to come from this as well, because I didn't contact the food bank. They were the ones who kind of do the outreach, which is really nice that we're having some back and forth now. So yeah, that was good.
So these materials here,
Yeah.
how do you advertise that? Or do
So we
you?
have them advertised in all the branches. So in
Okay.
every branch, there's a shelf unit where, so we do everything in brown bags. Part of that is because it's nobody's business but the person, what they're taking. So everything looks the exact same,
Yeah.
and everything's packed in sets of 10. So if you grab a bag, you're going to get 10 size 4 diapers, 10 overnight menstrual pads, 10 depends, size extra large.
Yeah.
And then they can come in as much as they like, as much as they like. They can get it for themselves, for other people. There's no monitoring whatsoever. You don't even need a library card. You can just stick your hand in and run. And it's been incredibly popular. This was a one-time grant that the provincial government gave us. Unfortunately, we haven't been able to find any funding sources to continue to support it, but it has been a lifeline for many residents in our
Yeah,
areas.
and that will be
Au
as
contraire.
good news.
Au contraire. I initially asked a private foundation to fund the entire year for us. And then I got, Susie, start there.
Are you guys? They're there. They're just on mute.
Oh.
Okay.
And I got
Yep,
some
we're
hemming
here.
and I got some hemming and hawing saying, well, we really only do operations like in Guysborough County. We'd be happy to supply it for them. I'm like, we'll take it
Yeah.
and then move everything that's stopped in Guysborough County north.
Yeah, like it might cross county lines sometimes like
I
that.
don't think anybody in Inverness or Richmond County is going to care where they came
Yeah.
from.
No.
So I
Well,
did submit that, and they said they'd find something
amazing.
to
That
do this.
makes me that's like the best
Is
word I
that
can
better?
get.
Is that
Cracking
better than
stuff.
English? Is that
Yeah.
worth another sandwich?
Absolutely. You can have
Yeah.
mine. You can have mine. You can have mine.
Yeah.
So that will be a
I'm gonna be stuck in traffic for another hour.
So that will be an issue for the budget as well, trying to ensure that we can continue that program and support it at an appropriate level. It's approximately 7,000 a year or so.
Is that 2023 then?
It basically started when I did. I think they had just received the funds like it's very, very on par. And we do have a TIF as well on our website.
Yes.
Part of our fund is
Yes, we do have a page, a community well-being page on our website where we have links to local resources, information, and everything that's available.
So we're going to disseminate this information back to municipal units, back to users. And I think when we are making, and you guys are making rather budgeting decisions, it's important for you to have this top of mind. And that ultimately, too, I mean, the message has been somewhat lost in the whole libraries are more the books, that actually quite a few people highly value the library book end of things, right? So the traditional library services, people do want more programming and activities, they'd love to see more. And the digital services are important to people. So even though we don't see digital users, we had press reader go down. It glitched about, I think, a month ago. And
For like 2 or 3 days, and
we got calls, many
because they couldn't read the Chronicle Herald.
And so with press reader, you can read the Toronto Star, you can read the Chronicle Herald. A lot of people have come to depend on that. And we heard from users. So those digital users are not well represented because they're not attached to a location or a branch, but they do care about that service highly. So it makes for a very complex service picture to fund. And as I say, we'll be sharing that with everybody. So it might be something you want to talk about at councils.
What's left in that grant funding, Jill?
For this.
Yeah.
I'd have to tell you.
I was like, I think we're getting really close to the end. I've been trying to be really conservative, so I put it out early that like, okay, we spent like 80%. We were probably only at about maybe 70.
Did you want to bring up the
That's
grant
what I'm just
over?
gonna take a look here.
Yeah, if you can get there, I mean, I may be able to. It's also something that needed to be updated because it's behind as well. But any bit of money will
I think there was around 2, maybe 3,000 left. So
help.
basically enough for like one more order.
Yeah, that's about, and we have quite a, like, we have a reasonable stock. So, I mean, I'm fairly confident we can continue it for this year. And it's not really so much about this year, it's about, okay, what decisions are we making for this year and that impacts next year. So, okay. And funding advocacy, it seems like the province is just, you sort of had your experience at conference there. It seems like the province is like full stop on any kind of. Now we have heard like sending letters, and they are getting like at least a couple letters a week at the department. So they did encourage everyone to continue suggesting users, whoever write their MLA or write the department, write the minister about library funding. And when we're having conversations with users who may have a suggestion, or they may, like sometimes people have suggestions and you get back to them and sort of explain things, and some of them might actually be good. I have one person in Inverness actually expressed a suggestion about improved signage for a location. And I said, that's not really our thing, but you know what? I'll forward it to the municipality, to Morgan. And, you know, Morgan was like, oh, perfect. And just doing that budget. And sort of brought it to his radar, and I let her know that, and she was delighted. And I also said, hey, contact your MLA if you want to see genuine improvement with the situation, because we do need more money. And then she gratefully did that as well. So it is important for everybody on the board to message, you know, people can help if they want by just continuing. Because one thing with the province is they keep saying that it was like, you know, it's a win for us not to be cut. And the only reason that happened is because we had spent a year before collectively as library region advocating, getting people to contact everyone. So that activity would be good in some way to continue. Does anybody have any word on councils about our funding request or didn't spending request under books? Okay, so I need to budget some of this, so I'll. Possibly, but maybe that was the last one.
Do you mind how much?
2,000.
Yeah, we just asked for 2,000 or whatever
Up
for
to,
the four.
yeah.
Yeah. Which collectively would be.
More than two.
Yeah, it would be good. anybody else have any luck? Okay. It's probably the demo by now.
No, not necessarily. So
Okay.
we finish our capital, getting approved that.
Okay.
We're still dealing with our operational. We do have a meeting.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're in the same boat. Okay, perfect. It's not up there again. Yeah, we did stuff today, but.
So, well, there's your answer about the budget's supposed to be done by now.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah.
We put that in our students' family in that form.
Yeah. Okay, well, if anyone gets any positive updates, please let me know. There's two ways to do it, based on my last year's experience. Either the municipal unit can buy it directly from, they can buy the books directly from our book vendor, Whitehawks. Ingridus did that for what company? And Whitehawks will build them. Yeah, or they can give us money and we'll pay the vendor. It does not matter to us. It just depends on how your finance person wants to do it. So that's also something to bear in mind.
They're also leaving the extra work to you.
Yeah, well, it's fine. It's easier for us in some ways, and because you don't have to try and get somebody to put the organization or municipality on the bill, but it is feasible. I know last year Port Hawkesbury bought some furnishings for the library directly rather than giving it to us to purchase those items. So yeah, and I don't know. I mean, should I be looking at the fall, let's say, because we're full now to visit council again and kind of update everybody on library funding and our budget situation with, I mean, we give about that, but it, how
We
do we
started
do?
our budget prep in January.
Right, so
So it's fall.
yeah. So if we're advocating with municipal units in fall and highlighting whatever difficulties we might know more about then, that's bringing the issue to the council's attention then. And because it was the other thing that was really key, which is important for you guys to know, is municipal units contacting the province is also very helpful, right? Brings it again. And I would say that that word saved libraries from a worse situation almost. So anyway, that's it for now. CEO report.
Has everybody read the CEO report? Are there any questions about any particulars in that report?
They're probably going to start the excavation Tuesday next week, which I didn't have a chance
Okay.
to call you. So I just heard that today.
Also good. Okay.
They have been excellent.
Yeah.
That was a great decision, honestly. They have kept everything within the budget envelope of the project, but they moved stuff around, rejigged it, all done all this extra helpful flexibility while still maintaining the budget. And they're lovely.
Truly, I miss George.
Yeah, they're
I want him
lovely
back.
to work with. And just very, I can't believe how much they're keeping their own budget while at the same time adapting to the needs as they become clearer. Because that was my biggest fear of the project. What will you find when you open that up?
Right.
And how much are you going to charge us at that point in time, right? And they have alleviated that fear greatly.
How's your paying for contractors?
They did a great job. They didn't do this part because we decided we shouldn't afford it at this point. But well, a few little bumps, but I think they'll be resolved with more conversation. Some of the cleanup stuff wasn't as easy as we had hoped, but
Considering like the amount of the time window that they had to do it, not too bad.
yeah, and it looks great. I mean, it's beautiful job.
It's nice to just have one color.
Yeah, as opposed to mustard yellow for do 72. Yeah, and if we, everyone wants a throwback, we just
Yeah.
yeah.
That was the color back in
Yeah,
the
I did share with you too the Annapolis Valley letter to the minister as well. It was, yeah, that they asked us to share it around. So. Okay, so no questions or any questions from the CEO report? Great.
Move this along.
Yeah.
would entertain any motion to go in camera.
Michelle,
okay, we need to shut up.
Well, we have a big motion to go in camera.
Yeah, but should you want to leave this in your calculations here? And then
I'm just going to turn the recording off.
Say what we did.
Yes. So.
Okay, there you go. All right,
restart. Okay, on motion by Mayor Chisholm, seconded.
Who was the second? Sorry,
I didn't.
We are out of camera at 6:32 p.m. As per our discussions, we are going to give staff recommendation that when considering your budget, you look into the 1.5%.
Okay.
And we can then evaluate how it does affect the overall budget.
Okay. Yeah.
Prior to that.
Right. Okay. So we will draft accordingly.
Draft accordingly. Yeah. If you don't like it,
yeah.
Send you that.
We will try our best to achieve that. Okay. Great.
And that being the, oh, wait a minute. Next meeting date.
Well, I spoke with the auditor by email today about the audit, and currently we are starting that process next week. So what I'm unclear on is when will we have a job audit, financial statement screen review, and we'll go on.
Sure.
Sorry, who's the auditor?
It's MNP, Darren Schessel, okay. Was our partner. So that is still kind of TBD. If we just choose the third Thursday in June, I think we, you know, we probably should book that regardless. Very possibly, my birthday.
I'll be in Philadelphia.
I'll be in Toronto. Okay, well, let's go get
blankets.
Yeah, so do we go the week after that? Because we're not going to be ready.
25th? That'll give you time to get your, hopefully, all
the financial statements. So that would be June 25th, which is a reasonable approval of the weekend. Okay, so
sorry
let's...
about that.
No, it's probably for the best, because like I said, I might have probably soon left. Yeah, I don't think the paperwork will be ready.
Yeah.
Regardless, so okay, so June 25th, that's good. It's meeting, and hopefully they don't have to go into the summers. Well, it feels like we might, but
watch out, that, you can say no to that.
Oh, I just need to approve a budget, and I'll ask the auditor too. Like, if they're not ready with the financials, but we have a reasonable budget, can we approve the budget? Do
you not need to have enough budget in 30?
No, I budget, yeah, that would be my goal, but I just meant if they hear later on the...
I mean, the audit. Do you not have had the audit approved by June 30th?
I'm not sure what meeting exactly which they're going to do, but there's no rule. There's not a lot of the band, but that kind of bands.
You see, it's not...
We were discussing that.
So that's yeah. Right.
Okay, well, I'll check into it, yeah. But like, there's absolutely no timeline that I've ever seen or been given to people.
Roses?
Yes. There hasn't been a lot of like actual when I showed up there was no like written.
Isn't that the standard practice? 90 days after year end.
And you know what? I know already that
I'm not going to.
Yeah, no, I don't know if I you might be very right. I know
these business people.
There's actually another
lot. Oh, yeah. We've had some time. We can get
it's a good question. Can I retreat? Right?
We just finished for hours.
That's great. So we'll find out more, but we'll definitely be aiming to get those things out with by June. It's been let down with that nice. Yeah,
we don't get our audit approved until
But
when you
yesterday was hot,
yes,
yeah.
It would
be
rich.
Really,
are we done?
So that's
that being the end of the agenda, the meeting is adjourned at 18:36 hours.
Okay.